A message from the U.S. Department of Justice, Crime Prevention Coalition of America, National Crime Prevention Council, and the Ad Council.
Does someone you love have prostate cancer? Prostate cancer is a disease of the patient, the partner or spouse, and the family. Talking with other prostate cancer patients and survivors can be a terrific source of information, comfort, and encouragement. To get connected with someone near you, contact your local Us2 chapter at us2sc.org. That's U-S-T-O-O-S-C.org. Does someone you love have prostate cancer? Prostate cancer is a disease of the patient, the partner or spouse, and the family. Talking with other prostate cancer patients and survivors can be a terrific source of information, comfort, and encouragement. To get connected with someone near you, contact your local Us2 chapter at us2sc.org. That's U-S-T-O-O-S-C.org.
Oh, fantastic. Yeah, get that checked out. Hey, everybody, this is WUSB Stony Brook, 90.1 on the frequency modulation band. We're also streaming on the internet. You can check out our website, WUSB.FM. All kinds of information about programs, playlists, ways to support community radio, community radio stations, just like this one here at Stony Brook University. But right now it is 6 o'clock, and that means it is time for Off the Wall. Enjoy. Good evening, everyone. Hello, this is Off the Wall. I'm Kyle, and, excuse me. I'm Kyle, and that is Emmanuel right there.
Just ease up on the piano just a little bit. That would be nice. Thank you.
It is. Whoa.
Just charges into the thing. I mean, yeah, I get it. Okay, it's good, but it's like a freight train hitting you sometimes.
Well, unlike a freight train, we're gonna be taking it easy tonight.
We don't have freight trains. We don't have any freight trains out. Well, we kind of do. We have a line of what's it called? Some train company that theoretically has a freight train.
I think it's
freight
the
train.
Long Island. No. What is it?
I don't know. I don't even know. The fact that we don't know what it's called indicates that there aren't very many of them.
It's probably like Northeast Island.
No, it's nothing so sensible. It's the point is, we don't have those long, barreling freight trains like you have out west.
No.
Take, 3 minutes to pass by.
No. Well, I'm sure several of them come through and end... In these parts of the country, in these areas, these industrial what do you call those? I guess they're ports and train yards.
Yeah.
They probably get shorter along the way, but those trains do end up here, I think, one way or another. At least some of them.
Well, those big long mile long trains don't wind up here. They might wind up in Jersey or something like that, but I don't think they even cross the river.
Oh, that's true. You're saying specifically here, yeah.
Yeah.
There are freight lines. There is a company that's failing. It's escaped us both today, but there is a bit of freight traffic out here on the island.
I'll look it up. I have the
Look it up.
I have the internet here. I'll be back.
The benefit of that is that we can share it with all of you. And boy,
the internet
lots
not,
to
it's,
share.
It's not loading.
Oh, it's not loading.
I got a white page.
Really?
Yeah. It's, why can't we load Google from the university? I don't understand that. Look at that. It's just nothing. Nothing's happening.
I figured out how to make a website a white page. I forgot a slash and some HTML that I was working on, and I made a website, put all of the code into the title or the description of the website in the HTML. So when you hovered over the tab, you would see all of the code for the website in the tab.
Look at this. People are adding music to Dropbox as I'm watching the computer, but I can't get Google to load. Wow.
And you were there. You saw how hysterical I was that my...
Oh, yeah. Your website disappeared because you erased a slash. Well, that'll teach
literally,
you.
It would have been a needle in a haystack of HTML.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, forward or a backward needle, but I found it. And it was because I had modified the title in the website and forgot to close the title.
Maybe because I'm using Chrome, I shouldn't do that. I don't know. I can't get Google to load. This is ridiculous. I get Google News to load, but I can't get regular. Wow. The network here at this university is just it's shameful. It really is.
Well, you know.
Okay, I have the. I don't know if I'm actually loaded. I have the search bar. What was I looking for?
Speaking of the what were you looking for? Speaking of the university, students are back on campus. You were looking for the Long Island
freight
Company.
Long Island.
And if anybody is aware, like, we're actually looking into this. We were going to buy a rail line because we've basically become
not
so frustrated.
A rail line, a rail
what?
Car, not a line.
We weren't going to announce this?
Not a whole line. I can't do that.
Well, we'd like at least a piece.
Here it is, the New York and Atlantic Railway. That's what it's called. There it is.
That's a fine name for a railway.
Yeah.
In any event, if you have a line on several miles, any length of a railroad, we're interested in it. And also, anyway, we've become so frustrated with the rail in the country and transportation generally that... this is something we're looking into. We're going to build it ourselves.
You can stick your own private train car on the back of an Amtrak train and take it cross country.
Yeah.
You might think that's the most insane thing that you ever heard, but it's true. You can do that. You have to pay some fees, but you can actually stick your car in the end of of a train.
And it is economical. And there are interesting train cars. I mean, imagine if you had a laboratory car or one of the working cars or a caboose or all kinds of different cars refurbished.
Mm-hmm.
There are people that do this, but if you have a one of these interesting kind of cars, maybe a bank car like they have in the MTA, something...
You mean the money train?
Yeah, something, you know, industrial. We need something industrial. We don't want it to be dilapidated. But if you're willing to donate a rail car to us, we'll gladly accept it.
I'm not trying to quell your dreams. I just sort of want to slow this train down a little bit because it seems to be going at full speed. Where if someone does donate a train car to us, where in God's name are we going to put it? We don't have any siding.
Well, we can ask these fellows. I mean, they probably know of somebody who might be getting rid of some siding somewhere.
Did you hear Cuomo the other week, though? He was talking about how amazing the progress is on the LIRR with the expansion.
Yes.
And they can now lay rail at a mile a day with this machine they have.
Instead of 500 feet. Yeah, that was really an interesting and optimistic article, something you don't often read. You don't come across that spirit.
It wasn't an article. It was a press release. That's why I was so optimistic.
Well, there you go.
But still, it showed a lot of progress, a lot of potential. And if we could borrow that machine just for, you know, an afternoon, we could lay rail and have the siding that we need and connect to the main line, which I think would be important.
Now you're talking.
Yeah. Well, that's what you have to do. You know, for forgiveness, not for permission.
Right, so just break up the line a little bit, you know, get it going off a little bit, and then buy like an alley or like
by 25A, you know
where
the curve in the rail is, right where it's going into Setauket.
Yeah,
there's like we can make a little spur off of that, and
okay.
You know, we'll install a switch so that the train doesn't go down our road, and it'll just be on the side. It's not going to bother anybody. It's just going to be there for when we need it. We can park our car there. And then when we want to hitch onto the actual rail line, we just make arrangements, push the thing onto the main line, and that's, you know, that's the magic of rail. We could take the thing to you know, throughout North America.
I like this. No, yeah. I'm interested, and you know, I feel like the feasibility study. What could it possibly cost?
Not much, to
evaluate, just to survey. You know, this is why.
You know, you buy somebody lunch. I think that'll cover it.
Right. No, at least a submarine, a good hero, as they say out here.
Submarines,
yeah.
Here, Kyle. They call them heroes, not submarines.
And,
my
we have
God,
listeners in other parts of
Let
the world.
Let me do the talking when we meet with these people.
Right.
By the way, if we can just find where the machine is, it's down by Ronkonkoma somewhere because that's where they're doing the work. And if we could just, you know, check it out, maybe borrow it for a little while, and get it back to them by morning, I think we can get everything we need.
Yeah, they probably have the keys right above the visor, just hop in, flip some switches, and off we go. So, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
That's going to be fun. And
by the way, the New York and Atlantic Railway was formed in 1997, and their mission is to provide freight service over the tracks of the Long Island Railroad. And guess what? Their initial franchise was for 20 years. So that means next year it expires.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So that's going to be momentous.
We could become the next freight rail operator next year if we file some kind of challenge.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
where I'm going with this.
Yeah.
And then we're in charge.
Right. We'd be like the new shop in town. Huh.
Yeah. If you need someone brought to the city, you talk to us. We get a freight train and just pull it in.
Yeah.
Or bring it out, too. It goes both ways.
Yeah. So there's lots of work to be done here. I mean, the project is still in the planning stages. So please write to us, otw@2600.com. If you have some advice, maybe you make locomotives, you're a major manufacturer, please send us a brochure. Anyway.
Yeah, brochures are always welcome in these parts.
So what other things are going on? I guess the Forest Service, the National Parks, are celebrating their anniversary, the centennial, and apparently all the parks were free last week.
See, I don't find out if it seems until it's too late.
Or it was over this weekend, or maybe it's Labor Day weekend, the upcoming weekend. I can't remember which weekend it was, but they were allowing free entry or otherwise. You remember the trip we took up to Mount Rainier? So we had to pay a couple bucks to get through the gate and then drive up the rest of the way.
Yeah, I never understood why I had to pay to go to a mountain.
Exactly. And, you know, it is a national park. But I guess that, you know, pays their salary, I guess. The
it also annoys me you have to pay to go to
money.
To go to beaches. You know, that annoys me, too.
Well, they have a similar system where when I was growing up, but I know they have that system around here that if you belong to a certain town or a certain village, then you get a little sticky thing to put on your windshield, and that somehow lets you in. It's like zone parking, but membership of like a yacht, not a yacht club, but like a beach drive or water interface that the public or that a community would use. So anyway, very elite, very exclusive. These groups are getting that kind of access.
So what parks are free?
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of parks. So I saw a little silly story. So apparently Statue of Liberty, that's a park. So everybody was getting... the tourists were just, like, probably so happy.
It's a ferry. You have to take the ferry to get... You're paying for the ferry.
Really?
That's what I thought. If you jump out of a plane with a parachute and you land on Liberty Island, you're going to be fine because you don't have to take the ferry, so they'll welcome you, you know, without charging you anything.
Oh, okay.
That's my understanding.
All right, well, that fee for, I guess, the ferry was waived, but basically in the spirit of opening up that particular park, which it is a park.
If you swim there or if you take your own boat to Liberty Island, again, there's nothing they can do. So you just go there and visit the statue. Yeah,
it's a reasonable plan. I mean, I don't see why more people don't swim or boat there themselves.
We should be charging for this information because we're giving you valuable information that you can use. It's valuable.
It's that time of year. It's the scramble. The sort of dog days of summer are slipping a little bit. I've been noticing some of the temperatures going down in some of the weather reports, and so I think everybody's getting their last-minute summer beach time in.
It's funny how you said that. You said you noticed that the temperature's going down in the weather reports. You didn't say you noticed the temperature's going down in actual real life.
No, it's still hot.
So you don't. Are they telling the truth or?
I'm sorry. If it's above 70, it's sweltering.
Uh-huh.
Where I come from,
yeah,
I don't know. I don't know about y'all.
But it's when it's above 90, that's a bit too much. And it's done that a few times in recent weeks, but I think it's calming down a little bit.
Yeah. Some hints of the upcoming autumn season, but let's not say that too quickly. But anyway, there are students back on campus, of course, all the trappings of that season approaching.
And that's I noticed this story about, did you hear about the deck collapse?
You mentioned this. Oh, my God.
Right off campus. See, what happens, this campus is so overcrowded, there's not enough rooms for people to stay in, for students. We've got, like, beds in the conference room. We're doing our part, you know. We got about six people there. We're charging them the same rate as the university charges, and that's fine. That's legal.
We're researching into how to palletize them.
Yeah, but the thing is, you know, not everybody has that luxury, and so they wander off campus and they start asking around to see if people can rent them houses or rooms in houses. And yeah, there are people that do that. In fact, this guy, he made two bedrooms out of the living room, had all kinds of electronic locks installed inside so that you couldn't get from one part of the house to the other, whatever. That kind of thing apparently happens a lot. Some of it's permitted and some is not permitted, meaning it's not legal. This kind of speaks to a problem because last Friday, 11 p.m. Friday, they were having this massive party over in by Oldfield, which is part of Setauket. Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
I'm trying to do Foley here. What?
I never understood why people do this, but all these people were standing on top of a deck.
Woo!
50 people apparently were on the deck, and of course it collapsed. Now, they're saying the deck was only attached to the house with some nails or something insane like that.
It wasn't exactly like iron I-beams and all kinds of sturdy industrial...
Yeah, but, you know, even if it were, you have 50 people on one deck, something bad's going to happen. And I just don't understand. Yeah, people are drinking and all kinds of revelries going on, but, you know, common sense has to be in there someplace. And people, no matter what, don't get on a deck with 49 other people if you ever had a situation like that. Fortunately, the people who are underneath the deck were able to hear the noises before it collapsed because they would have been hurt severely. There were something like 400 people at the house celebrating Stony Brook University's move-in day. I didn't know that move-in day at Stony Brook was something to celebrate. It's something that you do, but I didn't know there was a big, massive celebration. My invitation must have gotten lost. I didn't know about this. But authorities are investigating the cause, whether the house was converted into illegal apartments, and whether there were all kinds of safety issues. So, and that's going to affect other houses, too, in the area. You better believe that. Which only means that Stony Brook students are going to have more problems finding places to live.
Wow, yeah, that's an interesting ripple through the whole concept, the whole ecosystem of student habitats and how they get on off campus or not. Interesting. Very interesting developments. So, yeah, that's...
You see the parallel, though?
What? No.
The radio station, we're trying to find a home on campus.
Yeah.
And students are trying to find a home on campus.
Wow.
And we're both having problems. We're both competing with each other, I guess.
Yeah.
There just isn't enough space. Now, maybe the people who are renting out these illegal apartments off campus couldn't rent it out to the radio station instead. Build a big radio station complex in one house. How about that?
That would be inventive and industrious.
We would not put 50 people on a deck because we rarely have 50 people in the station at the same time. And if that were to happen, they'd probably be doing other things and not standing on the deck. And you know what? We don't even need a deck. How about that? We don't have a deck now. I don't think we've ever had a deck. It would be nice to have a deck, but we can live without one. I can stand on someone else's deck. Yeah, so let's think creatively and find some solutions.
It's the only way. It really is. It is the only way.
Mm-hmm. Did you see this letter we got?
No.
This listener named Damon writes to us saying, "Hi, Emmanuel and Kyle."
Okay, hi.
I've been a listener. Are you going to be sarcastic to the listener?
Okay, I'll just listen.
All right. "I have been a listener for about 5 years, and I enjoy the show. You guys have inspired me to take a train trip around the country with your various shows, recording while on trains, and discussions about trains."
Well, wait till you try our train.
"So far, my train experience has been limited to the NYC subway and the LIRR.
Well, that's pretty good, though.
I would like to take about 1.5 weeks, stopping in 3 cities for 2 days, and then returning to New York. I would think about going to Cleveland, Chicago, and St. Louis. You have any advice for a first-time train traveler?" Well, Damon, that kind of letter really makes us feel good because it shows us that people are getting something out of what we do, and being inspired to actually take a train trip on your own is awesome. What would you recommend? You know, obviously you're taking Amtrak, and you can basically get tickets to locations and have stopovers, and as you say, spend a couple of days in various cities. Did Cleveland have a train station? I don't remember stopping in Cleveland. Did we stop there?
Beats me. I'm not sure, actually.
I think they do, but I've never actually passed through that station.
Not one of consequence.
You basically, if you look at the Amtrak map, which you can see at Amtrak.com, you can plan out routes. I mean, you can book a ticket to Chicago by way of Washington, D.C., and it's two trains. You basically take a train down to Washington, and then you get on the next train. But you can make that flexible so you can get to walk around Washington, D.C. for a little while. Or you can book it for a day or two in the future.
Try both. Try one long leg, like a couple nights. That's definitely fun. But also try smaller trips where you do end up stopping, where you pivot. You end up maybe staying at a hostel or someplace along the way or in a town for a couple days, and then you move again. Why did I say hostel? I'm sorry, Airbnb or whatever app you use to sleep places. Enjoy both paces where you're sort of the train is your place to stay and the other mode where it's more of a one leg to another leg leads you from place to place, and those are the places that you stay and explore.
For the long hauls, we definitely recommend getting some kind of a room, roomette, whatever they call it.
Yeah.
Because being able to sleep in your own little compartment, There's something really cool about that, just in and of itself. But also, it's essential to keep your sanity. You don't want to just sit on a chair the whole time and nod off there.
Yeah.
It's you don't have any privacy, and you won't be as rested. Yeah, it costs a bit more to get that. But not if you have some kind of a point deal, and you might want to look into that as well. They have a couple of ways you can accrue points, and you wind up spending very little, if anything, to take long trips.
Yeah, getting the rooms in whatever form you can leads to that in a lot of ways, because it's a good idea. You're going to appreciate getting those kinds of points, and by having the room, you'll not be shy about longer trips, where thus you're accruing more miles or spending, you earn those dollars or whatever the program it is. It ends up helping you in the long run, and the comfort and having that. It's actually, if you can make a game of it, it's actually kind of interesting how some of those rooms work. We've mentioned leaping into action and putting together bedding and stuff on our own. Some trips, like the one up above in the north in Canada, where you didn't even see the bed being turned down or any of that. It was like full room service at a 5-star hotel, but on wheels. So there's variations on all that. So sometimes I know the roomettes, when you go on the Empire Builder through, like, St. Louis or wherever, you end up turning that stuff down yourself, or you'll get a little help, but it's sort of really tiny, and all it is two seats facing each other, and that folds into one or two bunks.
Yeah.
They are really, really tiny. You don't necessarily have to have, like, a family bedroom that's thousands and, you know, really for many, many people. Even the smallest of the rooms, that ability to lie down and then close the door and sort of have a little bit of quiet space to yourself is really nice. But on the flip side, it's also nice to go socialize and look in the viewing car, and of course the meals and stuff are really cool times to socialize.
Yeah, if you do that, you wind up getting all of your meals, three meals a day, and you get to sit and talk to people at the table.
Yeah.
And share stories and things like that. The interesting thing about getting a room, though, you might have two beds in your room, but if you're traveling by yourself, you get the whole room to yourself.
Right.
It's the same price. And so if you are going to somebody else, they're not being charged extra for that room. They're being charged extra for a ticket, but the room is one fee.
Honestly, there are some trains that, like, the whole car is to, you know, you have to yourself. We've been on legs of some of these trips where it's really eye-opening how underutilized the train is. Granted, people are picked up along the way, but I'm thinking, like, the Coast Starlight was really empty on the way out of California, and it slowly got, I think, a little bit more full, but it never really felt crowded.
But you remember, it was impossible for us to book that online. We had to call somebody because we couldn't book a room on that train, even though there were plenty available. So you will encounter some weirdness sometimes. But definitely check out Amtrak Rewards, I think is what it's called, where you can accrue points in various ways, whether by credit card purchases or some other methods. And that cuts down the cost a lot. Also, check out different routes. Like, for instance, if you go from New York to Montreal, it's insanely cheap, you know, as opposed to going even New York, D.C. or New York, Chicago. It's a lot more expensive. But Montreal is a different country. I think New York, Boston is actually not that expensive either, unless you take the Acela.
But come up with a plan, and then don't be afraid to call, because they will help you out, too, as far as, like, if you've got something in mind. When you present that to them, they'll do their best to accommodate and make sure that you're happy with what you get.
Sometimes north-south routes are more economical than east-west ones. Just go online and look into all kinds of tricks of the trade and ways that you can really benefit. The important thing is the journey.
And have fun with it. Make a game out of some of these things and enjoy what happens. Be open to the adventure of it.
Yeah. And the cities that you stop in, Chicago is definitely a great walking around city.
Yeah.
I would just make sure that you know at least a couple of places you'd like to head to in that city, so you're not just getting off the train and saying, okay, where am I? What am I doing? Without any, that sort of happened to us in Chicago when we got off the train, and there was nothing of interest around us.
I find Chicago is always like that.
Well, we found interesting things, though.
But you find stuff. I mean, I've done a lot of goofy things stopping off in Chicago because you have a bunch of time there. But after you walk around for a couple minutes, you end up finding things to do. You get comfortable. You get oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And it's always, you know, like, you, it comes back to you. You know, you remember the layout and where you need to go. But you can obviously go all the way out to the water. There's tons of things to do. Plenty of things downtown, of course, and in the museums. And you can explore the subway. That was really interesting to see how that's improved in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we had something like 6 hours between trains, so we could do that.
Yeah, we had a really long, long layover there. So. Yeah. Anyway, enough about that.
So, yeah, have a great time. Let us know how it goes. And if you're a listener out there that wants to ask us questions about anything like this, otw@2600.com is our email address. Speaking of trains, did you hear about this? New York City subway riders had a recent incident that was kind of strange. New York Post actually reports this. Which tells you how strange it is.
Okay.
They say a woman trying to sell crickets and worms lost her grip on her cargo when she got jostled Wednesday evening on a D train. Rider Chris Calabrese says startled passengers had crickets on their arms. His girlfriend was crying. The worms wriggled on the floor. Passengers moved to the other side of the subway car. Someone pulled the emergency brake, and the train halted on the Manhattan Bridge. Well, what kind of a boneheaded thing is that to do? You're in a train car that's infested with worms and crickets, and you pull the emergency brake? What? That just ensures you're going to be there for longer. What's the point? Why pull the emergency brake?
Why, like, let it play out, you're saying?
Well, get somewhere so you can get off the damn train.
Yeah, that's a good point.
What's the point of stopping in the middle of a crossing of the bridge? That makes absolutely no sense.
That's a good... You're right.
Yeah, and writer Chris Calabrese says it was the craziest thing he'd ever seen on a train. And we have an update on
but
it.
No doubt. But
no, go ahead.
Probably not the craziest thing that's ever happened on a train.
No, definitely not.
No.
It's the craziest thing he saw on a train.
Yes.
We have an update. So apparently this was... there's more to this story than what we...
there's more.
If you can believe that.
Holy moly. Okay. All right. I'm listening.
The woman who basically had this happen was arrested today.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Just hours after she posted a Facebook Live video apologizing and saying that people want to kill her. She was taken into custody this afternoon, charged with reckless endangerment, obstructing governmental administration, false reporting of an incident, and disorderly conduct. Last week this woman identified herself on Facebook as an actress who attended the Brooklyn Theater Arts High School. As she boarded a crowded train, apparently this was all some kind of a gag. She was posing as a homeless woman. And then another man, who's a fellow actor, knocked a bucket from her hand, sending the bugs everywhere. She then appeared to panic. Commuters tried to calm her. And at one point, she tried to climb through a small opening in the train's window. Okay, that wasn't in the original story, so this gets more interesting. The train was halted to a standstill for several minutes when an idiot pulled the cord. Apparently, that wasn't part of their plan. That was somebody else who was pitching in. Said in a tear-filled 39-minute video. Good Lord. That the point of the stunt was to get everyone's attention for her message, but admitted she could have done it differently. You could have done it any other way, actually. I want my work to spread, she said. I'm just sorry for everything.
Whoa. What's her work?
I don't know.
I'm sorry, what?
It's working, though, because we're talking about it.
You're talking about it.
Her hopes of being an actress are now out the window, she says. She always wanted to be somebody, and she dreamed of acting with Tyler Perry, but the odds of that happening are probably slimmer now than they've ever been. We'll keep you updated on that story.
Don't give up. Keep trying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's what I got at the moment.
And you really do have it. That is a lot to process. Should we take phone calls?
We didn't test it out.
Oh.
So I don't know if it'll work.
Do you want to live on the edge? Do you want to be daring?
It's 50-50, you know, because we won't know it's not working until it doesn't work on the air, and then we'll have somebody on the phone, and then we'll have to...
I wish I had, like, intermission music where we could play, like, 30 seconds to sort that out and give it a test.
Well, what I could do is I could just assume it doesn't work and fix it so, you know, even if it is working, it'll work either way.
I want to assume that it works.
No, we'll wind up with dead air, and that just sounds awful.
Oh.
So what I'll do is I'll just move my microphone over and
quietly
plug in the other patch cord.
Right. Wow. Well, while he does that, let's see. What else is going on? I don't know what else I want to talk about. There's a lot going on. A lot to say. But yeah, it's not really coming to me right now. That's why we would like to hear from you. Give us a call, 631-632-6901. If you're on campus, if you're a student here at Stony Brook, you can pick up any phone and just dial 26901, and you'll reach the station. This is a community radio station on campus, powered by a fantastic community and a lot of listener support. And students, the ones I was just referring to, the ones I invited to call in. And here's a caller now, but we're still...
Okay, no, it's work. I mean, it's set up. So you have to go into delay.
Over here, right?
Yeah, channel 9.
Okay.
Go out there. And then if you go into delay, play something to fill the 7 seconds of dead air while we go
okay.
into delay.
Here we go.
Hello there. My name is Thomas Dolby, and you're listening to the airwaves of WUSB Stony Brook.
And we're in delay. Wow. Okay.
Yeah, here we are.
I guess that worked.
No, it totally worked. And let's bring the phone in. And now we have two calls. All right, so I'm going to go for this one. Hello, you're on WUSB.
Hi, this is Joseph. Love the show.
Oh, great. Hey, what's on your mind, Joseph? Where are you calling from, too?
I'm calling from Mastic.
Oh, great. Hey, what's on your mind?
That's out east.
Is it?
Today, driving home from work, I had on Democracy Now! on your wonderful station. And evidently, Google News is talking a lot about potential hacking election sites.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's been in the news a bunch. Russian hackers and all the prospect. And this is what I guess Trump was foretelling.
I was just wondering if you felt it was a possible, and who the possible perpetrators and what they're. What that's all about, and just giving hacking a bad name, if that's possible to do, even.
Is it giving hacking a bad name, though? First of all, can you hear me?
I can hear you. That was my question.
Okay. So it's giving hacking a bad name if hackers show that the entire election system is vulnerable and can be hacked. I mean, if you knew how to hack an electronic voting machine, I think you have an obligation to hack it. You know, to show people how insecure it is.
Yeah. Makes sense.
Yeah, it's not the type of thing that is going to be emblematic of an entire community. At the same time, it's not something we should ignore either and dismiss. And it's certainly around this debate, especially with technology changing some of the voting or. Some of the voting not changing, the voting techniques not changing, it makes this sort of a ripe moment for that. So it's not surprising that there's concern. It's not surprising that we're hearing even actual incidents of it. I think as a Democrat, it's for us to function, right? For us to be able to vote, we need those systems to work well. And if they are broken, we need to be able to work around them. When it matters, up here in November, I guess, right?
Do you think it's necessary for all these states to have paper backup or anything like that?
Absolutely, yeah. There has to be back. There has to be some kind of accountability, definitely.
Yeah, definitely. Like receipts, something you actually physically fill out, and so on. Anyway, hey, thanks for your call. We're going to get to some other ones, and keep listening out there.
Take care.
All right, good night. Hello, you're on WUSB.
Hey, do you guys think you'll ever bring back that Fool the Operator segment
they
had a long time ago?
Confuse the Operator. Wow, I remember that. That was the brain damage days. You must be a long-time listener.
Yeah, I don't know. I really like that stuff where you just call up random people and you try to fool them. Like, people uh-huh. are on the phone service. I think you should do that more often.
Well, okay. the problem is getting a live person at the phone company is really hard these days.
Yeah, it's a really here's a, like an example I've used in the past is trying to get an operator at the company, like corporate operator at the company Verizon. Not an operator like just, you know, if you dial zero or get directory assistance. I'm talking about a switchboard operator at the company. It's impossible.
We should try that.
Have you tried calling other countries? Maybe they have more operators at their services?
Yeah. That's certainly a good point, and we like that idea, and we will take note of it for the future as far as how we develop the things we do for the show. But the other thing that's been a bit of a hindrance is right now our facilities are in a bit of flux, and we have all these sort of other things going on at the station, which is itself in a bit of transformation. And hopefully with the new facilities, we're going to have a lot more flexibility so that getting long distance and other things that are a necessity in actually producing a show like that, so that they're at our fingertips, then we can be a bit more playful with it. But that is the other aspect of that, is that it takes quite a bit of preparation for us to put that together. But that's a great idea, and I liked some of those wandering through the phone network, those segments from the past myself.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, though.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm hoping maybe you can do some voice over IP or something in the future, like experiment more with phones.
Absolutely, that's the other thing. As I'm sure you're aware, we're locked in with a very specific phone system here. It actually doesn't work at the same voltages. It's a proprietary system. The new station we're fairly certain. I'm guessing now, but I'm fairly certain it's going to have a lot more features, especially things like voice over IP and things that require networking and a bit more of the more modern systems. But we will take that advice into account, and I really appreciate your call.
All right, thank you. I'll keep on listening.
Thanks.
Great. Yeah, likewise. Cheers. Okay.
That's a great idea. I really think we should do that.
Yeah, no, I like that. I mean, it's kind of along the lines of stuff we talk about, the things we produce when we're on the road and play on delay, a little bit of a delay, but it's really fun to do that kind of stuff, and we are looking for all kinds of fun things to do in the future. We love bringing those stories and that kind of creative kind of radio to everybody listening. It takes you to another world, and it's really fun for us to do, so we'd love to do more of that.
And if you want to experience that yourself, what the caller was referring to, you can hear all those old shows. They're at our website, www.2600.com. And you go to the radio section and go to where it says Brain Damage. You'll see episodes of a show I did back in the 80s and 90s called Brain Damage. And there are synopses, and in every show where we do confuse the operator bit, you'll see that detailed, and you can just skip and listen to that. And it not only is it fun, but you also learn so much about how the phone system used to work, what it used to sound like. Very, very different than what it sounds like today.
Yeah. I've got some other ideas just for, like, interviews and things. I know we wanted to follow up with the gentleman that we interviewed at the Passenger Rail Association. We'd like to follow up with them, find out more information about different industries or areas of concern that we talk about. I'd like to do more, at least small interviews, and just different ideas to share all these different stories and in different ways, because people like different styles, and it's kind of cool to challenge yourself.
Do you want to demonstrate in the spirit of the past how hard it is now to get an operator?
Sure.
Okay, I'm not even sure we can get an operator. I'm not
All
sure
right.
we're allowed to.
All right. Well,
you've got a phone there in front of you, right? Can you get a dial tone?
Yeah, you just tell me what to do, and I'll
press
do
a button and get a dial tone.
All right.
Okay, that's a dial tone. Dial 9, you get a steady dial tone. Okay, now dial 0, like a normal person would dial to get the operator. It's the one at the bottom, yeah. Now you wait, and in the old days, you just get an operator.
Okay.
She'd come on and say, New York Telephone, can I help you?
Mm-hmm.
Or something like that.
Yep.
This is what you get today. This pretty much sums it up, I think.
Yep.
I don't know how to get an operator. I don't know if it's possible for us to get an operator from campus. I don't think you can do it. You can get a campus operator, but they don't have any power. They can't do anything. How about this? How about we call Verizon, 1-800-VERIZON, and see, Kyle, if you can get any human being to speak to you. And if you do get a human being to speak to you, just say, got the wrong number. 1-800-VERIZON.
What's Z?
What do you mean, what's Z? Oh, my God, you're right. There's no Z on the phone, is it? Wait, what did they do? It's got to be 9. Oh, you see, you got to dial fast these days. You can't just think about dialing. You got to know what you want.
I should have it memorized.
Oh. 1-800-VERIZON. I-Z-O-N. All right, let's see what happens. I assume that's their number.
Thanks for calling Verizon.
Ah,
to ensure quality service, this call may be monitored or recorded.
It sounds like they're humans is ready to pick up.
Español, marque 9.
Hola.
No, don't do that. You're going to confuse the machine. So does a person come on?
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Oh,
in order to get you to the right place, please say or enter one of the following.
So this is when I just start hitting
Wait,
zero.
You know she's listening to you now.
Oh.
And she's trying to interpret what you just, and me too.
See, it's just so many things have changed. We're in this weird area where we straddle technology. I'm still throwing it off by
you
talking.
Continue. You know, there's a mute button there. We could have a conversation. What'd you do?
I hit zero.
Hey, okay, I'll transfer you to someone.
Oh, see, it's going
to
work.
A little information to figure out which type of representative
they're not done with
would
us
best
yet.
Serve you
are
today.
They?
Which of these do you need to discuss?
All right, I
you
muted it.
You can say
I muted
Verizon
it.
Wireless Mobile, tech support and repair.
I muted it.
Sales.
So.
Disconnect or cancel service, payments, or billing.
What if we just want to chat?
What? Well, I mean, we want an operator.
Zero.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
I
Tell
thought
me which one you're interested
you
in.
You muted it.
I did
you
mute it.
You can say,
oh, she's
Verizon
reacting
wireless
to our silence.
Or
yeah.
Press 1.
Don't say anything.
Repair,
don't say anything.
Two.
All right.
And let's see if she
or press 3.
Connects us to anything.
Just see where it goes.
Cancel service. All right. Or press
That's
4.
Fine.
There are so many places.
Or press 5.
If you have a rotary phone.
Billing. Or press 6.
You can't do anything.
You can
Isn't it star, star, star for zero?
Or press star.
On a rotary phone? Wait,
there's
no
star on
a
rotary phone. My God.
Never mind.
I'm sorry. If you said something just now, I couldn't
nope.
hear it.
I'm still muted. I didn't say anything.
See, this is the phones of today are computers. The humans are all gone.
Technical assistance, press 2. If you want to place a new order or make account changes, press 3.
You know, if this was an emergency,
to disconnect or cancel your service,
we'd have to
press
listen
4.
To this 3 or 4 times.
If I was bleeding right now,
yeah,
I would not be interested in this lady. 6.
Okay, if she does this again, I don't think she's ever going to stop.
That's okay. Just, you know, turn her down a little bit more and
I'll transfer you to someone who can assist you.
There you
Security
go.
Is our top priority.
Security is our
so
top priority.
So you may be asked additional account information.
Questions.
Like account number, order number, or PIN.
All right, what are we going to ask?
How do we get the operator?
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
During this call, you may ask permission to review the services you purchased and other account information.
That needs to go down a couple decibels.
Your current services will not be affected if you refuse permission.
Are you going to do the talking?
Oh, they won't be able to hear me.
Oh, they won't.
What? I'm on the other side of the room, and we're dealing with a speakerphone.
Calling. This is Raquel. May I have your name, please?
I'm sorry, is this the operator?
This is the billing department.
Well,
oh,
no. I need the operator.
No, I'm sorry, I need an operator. Can you transfer me?
I can't transfer you to the operator. What are you looking for, information?
We want to make a collect call.
Can you offer collect services, calling services?
No, just press 0 on your phone.
Oh, we tried that. Okay. Well, we'll try it again.
All right. We'll try again. Thank you for your time.
Okay.
Did you hear the dismissal, the condescension in her voice?
She
just dial 0. No, you can't just dial. It doesn't work like that anymore.
It was a scoff. It was it was flabbergast. It was just disbelief that we would even go there.
Listen, listen to those old recordings, and you'll see. As soon as we hit the last digit, there was an operator on the line. Wanting to help us, and we were there wanting to confuse them.
I remember when I was a kid, you'd be able to talk to an operator, and I was always very polite, but it was instantaneous, and I would keep checking as I was growing up, and it would get further and more computer-esque and further away from an actual human.
Yeah, the first thing.
You used to be able to get it immediately, and that was directory assistance.
Directory assistance, the first thing they did was they answered with a recording that basically was their voice. It was personalized for every information operator, but it was definitely a recording.
I remember that. Yep.
Yeah, and we uncovered that, and then the whole thing turned into where they would pick up, play the recording, you would ask for something, and then they push a button and play another recording that gave you the phone number.
Yes, I remember that.
And now there's not even a person pushing the button.
There's
just
no
person. It's all computers.
All computers.
Thanks for that call.
Yeah.
Are there any other calls?
Anybody else want to burst our bubble? No, we already knew the bubble was burst. 631-632-6901. If you're on campus and you're a student, if you're a Seawolf here at Stony Brook and you want to talk to us, God help you, dial 2-6901.
Can I say on the air, I hate the Seawolves.
Seawolf? Seawolf.
I hate all the Seawolves.
If you're a Seawolf.
Oh, I feel like I have to say it. Someone has to say it. Someone's got to stand up and say, oh, my God, I can't stand Seawolves. Because, first of all, I don't even know what a Seawolf is. Second of all, every college team is named the same thing. You know, that's true of every college. And third of all, I just can't stand sport school spirit. I just can't.
That whole rah-rah.
I don't like it.
Mascots No. No, it is. It's sickening. It's excruciating.
I guess that means I'm not a team player.
But, you know, that's what Rush is about. Isn't it? Don't they call it Rush Week or, like, Pride Week?
Rush?
You know,
I thought it was Russia.
Rush.
I don't know what Rush is.
Student Rush. Don't you, like, rush sororities or you rush to the party or...
See, they make up all these words. They make up...
It's like it's like the safe hazing word. It's not hazing, but it is hazing.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how it works. You know what? If you know about how this stuff works, if you know what students are doing this week, because, you know, probably they're just getting their bearings and their schedule.
They're standing on decks and risking their lives. That's what students are doing.
Yeah. For what?
Hey, we have to leave delay.
Oh.
Unless we get another phone call.
Off delay. All right. Off delay.
All right. So we have to switch that and not talk over ourselves.
Okay. I'm going back.
I just talked over myself.
You just talked over yourself.
Okay. Well, I'm guilty as charged. The outro is designed to be spoken over.
Okay.
There's no hand signal for that, so I figured I'd just let you know that.
Well, that's fine.
All right. Our email address is designed to receive your feedback.
otw@2600.com.
I don't think we can speak over it this loud, though. It's really overbearing there. Wow. Okay, yeah, that's good. Nice and soothing.
Just something to look forward to, everyone.
You know, this is the last show in August.
Wow.
Isn't that something? In fact, is Labor Day next Monday? I guess it is.
I've been seeing a lot of subliminal messaging in commercials and ads for Labor Day, so I'm pretty sure it's coming up, yeah.
Wow. Well, it's pretty much all over. We're finally finished with Hope. We're finally finished with putting out the autumn issue. We might actually have some time to do something fun. And that might involve going someplace. If you have any suggestions, please also write to us, because we like to bring different parts of the world to our listeners and share our experiences as well. otw@2600.com. That's the email address for Off the Wall.
Yeah, share your experience with us.
You can share our experiences,
there,
too.
Yeah, share
maybe
what
you're getting them a totally different way than
you
we get them.
How you experienced our experience. Okay, yeah, all that.
Yeah, it's never ending.
All right, good night, everyone.
Bye.